Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We are fast approaching the last day of both the present order of things and the last day of the calendar year. It's amazing how that happens. At least it does for me anyway. Time always seems to go by faster and faster as the years go by. I don't like it. So at the end of this church year and this calendar year, I'm sure you've noticed that the readings are a little bit more stark. To put it gently, they're more ominous, they're more threatening, to get right down to it. I want to go over and expand on, maybe just a little bit, on some of the thoughts that I have every year on the end of time and when what we call the holiday season overtakes us. What I've heard called seasonal stress, sometimes seasonal stress disorder, and I wonder if that's in the DSM. Might be. Now we call it seasonal stress. Maybe you felt it, maybe you haven't. My bet is, though, you have, and you probably felt it for a few weeks now. It seems to come from this, I don't know, perfect storm of economic stress, religious, right, travel, emotional stress. You know, what do I gotta do? What have I forgotten to do? Right? Who have I not gotten presents for? Right? What am I forgetting? Have I cleaned enough? God help me to clean enough at the holiday season. Right? What did I forget to clean? Now I bring that up because there's a stark reality. More people kill themselves during what the world calls the holiday season than any other time of the year. Right, the stress of this time of year weighs on people so much that they kill themselves more now than they do ever at any other time. This is what the world's holiday season drives people to do. There is little in life, if anything, that is truly under our control. We know this, right? I hope we know this. And if this is true, why then do we become so angry and afraid all of the time? Right? Why do I go about my day, especially at this time of year, and panic? Why do I go about worrying over every little thing, things that I can't even control. We cannot make ourselves good 100% of the time. We don't always keep our word when we give it. Why would we expect that anyone else would or could? And then hate them when they don't. Get mad at them, angry at them when they don't. Why would we do that? I can't be everything that you expect me to be, and you can't be that for me either. Right? Why do we put that on each other then? Right? We do this. This is common to fallen humanity. We do this in our families. We do this in our country. We do this in our church. It's very, very dangerous. But for the most part, we do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. We create our own angst, our own worry, our own stress. Right? We blame, I don't know, our boss. We blame the traffic. We blame our spouse, maybe even our children. We blame the pressures of this season. But the stress doesn't really come from without. It really doesn't. It comes from within, right? It comes from right inside the human heart, living right here, right? We create it for ourselves. Because what it is that's off is our reaction, right? Think about that. It's our reaction to the stimuli in the world that's off, right? It's our reaction to this world, to others in this world, that is off. It comes from within, right? It's darkened by sin. Our human nature is darkened by sin. Now, we could calm down. We could relax and act normal like we do maybe the rest of the year. Some of us might be considered normal the rest of the year. I'm probably not. But we could, you know, stop dwelling on all the ways that we have felt wronged, right? Like personally wronged. Right, or the ways that we think that we have been overworked and underappreciated and taken advantage of and on and on. But we are so wrapped up in it all. We're so entangled in the system, right, the way of the world, that it's just almost nearly impossible for us. It's hard to untangle ourselves from it. The problem as we approach this end of the year and the end of time is that we're not so much thankful as we are just stressed and tired. Right? I see it every year, and you do too. We're tired, we're frustrated, we're angry. You don't believe me? Just, you know, look up a video of people shopping on Black Friday. You know, it's nuts. It's nuts. Right? With this insatiable lust for things in the beast's economy does to us. You see, oftentimes we are not content with what God has given to us, right? We have that grass is greener on the other side syndrome, right? We're always comparing ourselves to our neighbor, right? Look what they have. Look what they got. Look what he's doing now. Right? Look who's coming to his house for Christmas dinner. Right? Maybe more than that, what we do is we say we've got to add to what God has given. Right? His provision's not enough. We've got to add to it. We've got, you know, to make it look better to others. Right? This is, talking about this not long ago, this is what social media can do to us. Like, we've got to present our best possible life now to everyone else so they can look at me and just be envious of my life, right? We've got to add to what God gives to us. We've got to clean the house really perfectly clean so that when everyone comes over, they're like, oh, wow, look at them. They've really got it in order. Knowing your house doesn't look like that any other time of the year. It doesn't. Mine doesn't, right? Come on over to my house. I'll show you what it looks like. Actually, Catherine, you have been doing really good with clean and rinse. It is a little nicer now, so I'll step back a little bit. But most of the time, no, not at all. I mean, what do we do when this time of year rolls around and we've got people coming to our home? We hide the dirty laundry in the basement. I'm not saying that as a metaphor. Like, we have literally hidden our dirty laundry in the basement, right? And I think by your reaction, maybe some of you have done the same thing, so I don't feel so bad. Okay, good. Right, good. I don't feel so bad. Right? There's always this sort of temptation that when we try to, you know, count our blessings, we only see them as disappointments, as shortcomings. Right? We see them as things not nice as they could be, right? Not nice as they could be, as I think they should be. We say to ourselves, well, God be praised, at least I've got a job, and at least I'm employed. At least I've got this or that. And then what do we do with our very next thought? Right? We take it back with, but all the people that I work with are fools. Right? How much better I am than they are, right? Or no one appreciates me, or I got to do everything all by myself, right? Or I'm thankful that my belly's full, but it just wasn't as good as last year, right? The ham was so much better last year when, by the way, I cooked it, you know? Or, you know, I'm really glad that all of us could get together, you know, as a family this year. But I really hate that she brought him. What about that one, right? He just doesn't fit in with us, right? And it's then that our quite miserable attempt at being, quote, grateful turns quickly into self-righteousness, right? Maybe even a pity party, lamenting about the way that things used to be, right? We tend to idolize the past as humans. We do this, right? Right. We do the same with our family. We do the same with our churches. We do the same with our country, right? About the way it once was, how much better it was, right? We don't have to dig too deeply to find the flaws with others. We do that. We can do it at the drop of a hat, right? Now, we might nuance it a bit and say, you know, stress feels like frustration or something like that, right? And a sense of being overwhelmed. But it's really anything other than despair and anger that is mixed with fear, right? Of not trusting in God's provision, his merciful provision that he gives to us new each day, right? There's little in this life, as I said before, that's within our control. And yet, we worry about it constantly. Always seem to worry about it. Here is the solution that Jesus Christ himself orders us to when we are experiencing this exact situation. And it will not surprise you to hear what it is. It's the command and the dominical order to repent. To repent of all of that, of thinking that everyone has it better than we do, God is giving to them, and that I am not content with God's merciful provision. Repent of it. Repent and live lives of repentance, right? Bearing fruit in keeping with that repentance. It's not, by the way, try a little bit harder, right? Or do better, or pull yourself up, because God knows your weak and your frail hearts and minds. And that if you're to run to anywhere or anyone or anything other than him, you would be lost. I bring all this up because at some point we've just got to come to terms with all of this. We've just got to accept it and admit, finally, that I am weak. I can't do it by myself. Right? I can't control anything in this life. And things get out of hand. But despite all of that, you are not condemned. Despite all of our shortcomings, all of our failures, all of our lack of faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are not condemned. You have not been appointed to damnation, but to salvation. Beloved of the Lord, be humbled by that. Be humbled by that. To be fully and truly full of peace. To be truly thankful, to be truly grateful. That is to be full of the grace of God. And that always as a gift. Always. Gratefulness does not come ultimately by counting your blessings, right? Or counting the good things in life that make us happy. True gratefulness comes from grace, period. Comes from the undeserved mercy of Jesus Christ that he showers on you for no other reason than that he loves you. And that alone. Think about that. That's where gratefulness comes from. Despite all of our seasonal fear and angst and anxiety that we let rule us during this season, Christ loves us and saves us. The problem with our stress is that it's somewhat self-righteous. It is. Right? We think that we've been singled out. Right? We think that we are allowed to suffer more than other people. Right? That we work harder than others and don't get as much, and on and on and on. But the fact is, we have not. Right? What does St. Paul say? He says, "For nothing has befallen you that is not common to all men." Right? That's 1 Corinthians 10. Nothing's befallen you that's not common to all men. Right? Our judgment of our brother, right, that they somehow have it easier than we do, that's simply evil. And we need to be able to recognize that and call it that. We might think someone is doing less than we are, right, is less busy or has everything given to them, right? It just kind of falls in their lap and they got just great luck. You know, we probably said that a million times. They're just so lucky, those guys. But we actually have no idea what our brother is going through. You have no idea what the person sitting in front of you, behind you, what their experience in life and what they're going through. Right? What hell on earth your brother traverses through, even now, what loneliness, what loss, what medical issue. We have no idea about that in someone else, unless they tell us. Now, we don't generally tell each other the things that really disturb us, do we? We keep those things kind of close to the chest. Right? We don't tell people that we really have no true friends, right? Or that, you know, our husband is cheating on us. Or that our children resent and hate us. Or that we're mentally ill. Or that we're addicted to painkillers and gambling or internet shopping and we frequent prostitutes and on and on and on. We don't tell the big things. Right? We keep that close to the chest. Right? These are not things that usually, I'll say usually, come up at Christmas dinner, do they? Probably not. But oddly, and it is odd, there's actually some comfort in the fact that most people keep the really horrible, horrible stuff to themselves. Because in the first place, do you know what that means? It means that you are not as odd or as terrible as you may think. Right? Right? Your secret shame is all your own, but it's more common than most people think. I promise you that, right? You think that your dark secret sins are more vile and disgusting than everyone else's. I'm telling you, they are not. They are not. And though you suffer from it and you feel as though you can't escape that thing that afflicts you, the gospel declares to you, be at ease. Be at peace. Because you are free of all of the other things that afflict your brothers and sisters. Be at ease because you are simply a sinner. No better, no worse than anyone else. Be at ease. Because the great physician whose name is Jesus Christ comes only to the sick. Only to them does he come. So, ease up on each other. And by God, ease up on yourselves. We don't have to be this way. These days, they will pass. Stop expecting perfection from everyone else. Stop imposing your expectations on others. They are not you, and you are not them. And you're only, by doing that, you're only setting them up to fail. And to have this same cycle that I've just been describing go on and on and on. And never end. There is no reason to panic and to be in despair. The things that you care about now aren't going to matter in 100 years. They're just not. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He loves you. Why can't we just let our Christmas celebrations be about that? And nothing more. Nothing more. Not expect any more than just that truth and reality. That Christ loves you. Right? Let Christmas be about Christ. Right? There's a novel idea, right? Instead of all of the presents and all of the family gatherings and all of the dynamic, why not just let it be about Christ? Not about who's present. Not about who's absent. Who's angry or who's wronged you. What got done, what didn't get done. What got cleaned, what got cooked, what didn't. Who lied, who failed. What has to be done tomorrow? What does Christ say? Let tomorrow worry about itself. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Let it be about the love of God in our own flesh. Come to redeem us. Because that is what will endure. Not your angers, not your grudges, not all of the things that you're worrying about right now, not all of this seasonal end of year stress. When we no longer care about the things that now threaten to consume us, when the United States, when the Lutheran Church, and even our family names are gone and long forgotten, the love of God in Christ Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, will still endure. And it will be the only thing that we care about. I promise you that. You wait and see. You're going to be in 1,000 years even. You're going to be like, oh, right. Pastor Fry was right about all of that. Because at the end of the day and at the end of time, that's the only thing that matters. The love of Christ Jesus for you. It's all that matters. So I just wanted to say some of these things. Because I know how stressful this current holiday season can be on us. And I just wanted to remind you that when your celebrations, they don't look exactly like you envisioned them to look. Right? When they don't look like what maybe you remember in the past, it's okay. You're not perfect. And neither is your neighbor who you're always trying to measure yourself up against. No one's perfect. And we shouldn't expect perfection for ourselves, or from anyone else, for that matter. Put your hope, put your joy, every one of your celebrations and your thankfulness where it truly belongs, and in the only thing that endures, the love and mercy of God, come to us in the flesh of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.